So I suppose if there were one word, just one word, you get only one word, to sort of define or describe what this evening service is about tonight, what word would you use? One, two, three.
Pray.
Oh, good. You got it. It is praise. It is praise. Did you know that there is an entire book in the Bible that's dedicated, really dedicated, to the praise of God? In fact, it's the title of the book, at least in Hebrew. The Hebrew title of the book is Tehillim. Tehillim. And it's, do you know the book? Psalms. And Tehillim is just a word, a Hebrew word, that means praise. Or really, it's plural. Praises. We get our English title to the book of Psalms from the Greek psalmos, which means songs. So we use songs to praise the Lord. And that's the whole book of Psalms. So what I want to do tonight with you is just to look at the very last psalm, Psalm 150. Did you know that we just sang it? We did just sing Psalm 150. So Psalm 150, it's the very last psalm. I want to invite you to turn there. Grab a Bible and turn there with me, please. Psalm 150, it's a very short one. It's only six verses, but I think this Psalm 150 is a very sort of appropriate ending to a book that's dedicated to praise. This Psalm 150 kind of puts an exclamation point on the book of Psalms as dedicated to praise of God. So what I'd like to do is maybe do a little bit something unusual. Can I have you stand up? Would that be okay? All right, let's all stand together. And maybe that's not so unusual, but here's the unusual part. I'd like to for us to read Psalm 150 together as a congregational reading. Okay? So with our voices out loud together in praise to God. Psalm 150. Are you ready? Here we go. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord indeed. You can sit down. So I don't know if you noticed, but the first line and the last line of Psalm 150 are exactly the same. Did you notice what it is? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Does anybody know what that is in Hebrew? Hallelujah. Exactly. Means just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In fact, the last five psalms in this book, Psalm 146 to the end, are known as the Hallelujah Psalms, because every one of those last five psalms begins with praise the Lord and also ends with praise the Lord. So this has got to be an important concept, right, for God and for God's people. So the Hebrew verb for praise is the verb halal. It's where we get hallelujah from. It's the verb halal. It could be translated to praise or to glory in or to boast in. Isn't that interesting? There's kind of a famous verse in Jeremiah 9, verse 23. It says this. It says, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, or the strong man boast in his strength, or the rich man boast in his riches. And that word for boast that's used there is the Hebrew verb halal. Well, in other words, what that text is saying is don't halal in those things. I mean, don't. You know, whatever you have going for you, if you're smart, if you're strong, if you're wise, if you're rich, don't give your hallelujahs to that kind of stuff. Don't boast in what you have to offer to the world around you. Don't start worshiping yourself, because that would be a huge mistake. And that's exactly what this book of Psalms is doing. It's a songbook. It was the songbook that the Israelites used when they came to worship God. These are the songs that they would sing. You know, we just sang our songs tonight, right? And I love the way we prayed through the songs. That was wonderful. These are our songs, but the Psalms were their songs. And this is what they sang. And all through this book, it says, look, direct your halal, your glory, your boast, your praise, not at yourself, but direct it toward God. Because that's when life gets good. So I guess if I were to summarize the message of Psalm 150 in just one sentence, if I just get one sentence, here's what I'd say. The path to happiness, and then here it is to praise the Lord for all he is with all you've got in all of life. Did you hear that? The path to happiness is to praise the Lord with all you've got in all of life. So let me just kind of, as we go tonight, let me just kind of unpack that sentence one phrase at a time, okay? So first of all, praise the Lord for all he is. So C.S. Lewis, when he was a young Christian, he actually kind of struggled with this idea of praise a little bit, because he said, you know, what kind of an insecure God needs people to tell him how great he is all the time? I mean, what's up with that? And then he says, I realized something that I was completely overlooking about praise. And in his wonderful little book, C.S. Lewis's book called Reflections on the Psalms, he wrote this. He said, the most obvious fact about praise, whether of God or anything, strangely escaped me. I thought of it in terms of compliment, approval, or giving of honor. I had never noticed that all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise. The world rings with praise. Readers praising their favorite poet, walkers praising the countryside, players praising their favorite game, praise of weather, wines, dishes, actors, motors, horses, colleges, countries, historical personages, children, flowers, mountains, rare stamps, rare beetles. You can tell this was written in the 1950s, right? Not much praise of stamps and beetles these days. He says, even sometimes politicians and scholars. And then listen to this. He said, I had not noticed how the humblest and at the same time the most balanced minds praised the most, while the cranks, misfits, and malcontents praised the least. See what he's saying? Isn't that wonderful? Praise is not just some religious concept. Praise is not just a thing for church. It's what we just do when we're really impressed with something that we see around us. We get excited about it, right? We praise it. We talk it up. We just get all fired up about this thing. So in Psalm 150, verse 2, it actually gives us two things about God specifically that we're invited to praise and be impressed with. It says, praise him for his acts of power and praise him for his surpassing greatness. So when you think about God's acts of power, where does your mind go? What do you think of? Well, I guess my mind, it goes immediately to creation, right? I think it just goes right to creation. I mean, I think about the breathtaking images that are beamed back to Earth from some of the telescopes and satellites from outer space, a picture of our planet and of the vast universe around us. Just awesome stuff. I think of Lake Michigan. Don't you love Lake Michigan? We have Lake Michigan in our state. You know, other states don't even know about this. I said, we have this really awesome lake, and they don't even know. Lake Michigan and the beach and You know, if you go to the ocean or mountains or deserts, I think of the wind rustling through the trees along Kent trails where I walk in the early morning or on a late summer evening. Maybe you think of the richness of the soil as you go out in your garden these days and you're going to plant your tomatoes or your other plants or flowers. And however you experience the richness and the joy of the natural world, it exists because God put it there. And so here's what this psalm is saying. It says, let your enjoyment of that, all of the created world, walking and looking and smelling, let all of that move you to praise of the Creator. Are you with me? It's good. Because sometimes we just get stuck on the thing, right? We praise the stars, we praise the soil, we praise the trees. And this psalm is saying, no, allow all of those things to turn your gaze to God, to the one who created it. And then just be amazed with him. Now, of course, God's acts of power are not just limited to creation, right? It includes all of the miraculous things that he has done for his people all through the years. I mean, the parting of the Red Sea for the people of Israel as they left Egypt. All of the miracles that are recorded in Scripture. Of course, the resurrection of Jesus. I think it also includes the amazing, powerful things that God has done in your life. Can you think of a few? I mean, right now. Can you recall some of those mighty, powerful acts of God in your life? I mean, I think about the birth of my four children. I mean, you talk about acts of power. Amazing, merciful, awesome. It is. I mean, are there times in your life that you can recall where God intervened and came along, rescued you, delivered you, helped you, comforted you, blessed you, powerfully intervened in your life? And so as you see those opportunities, just go, wow. Praise him for his acts of power. And then it says, praise him for his surpassing greatness. I mean, just like because of who he is. I've noticed that over the years, if you hang around church a lot, and if you've grown up in the church especially, we can sometimes become completely blind. We can sometimes just, I guess, take for granted this God in the Bible because we just have heard it so many times. The fact that we have this God, right, that is holy and powerful and the judge, at the same time is merciful and kind and compassionate. He's not one or the other, but he's both in one God. Like, praise him for his surpassing greatness. If it's hard for you to picture that, you're thinking, well, this is just words or something. Think about Jesus. Think about Jesus. Because Jesus came as God in the flesh. And it says in John chapter 1 that Jesus came from the Father full of grace and truth. And he wasn't just gracious and kind. He wasn't just truthful and just. He was both in perfect measure. He was the roaring lion and the gentle lamb. He stood in a boat and he calmed a fierce storm by yelling at it, basically. And then he picked up little children in his arms. And this is what our God is like. And Jesus perfectly represented God. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Man, that a God like that would love us. That a God like that would invite us into a relationship with himself. I mean, it's almost too good to be true, isn't it? How could we not praise a God like that? Praise him for his acts of power, for his surpassing greatness. And then secondly, that second phrase of the sentence, praise the Lord with all you've got. With all you've got. And so verses 3, 4, and 5, we get this awesome list of instruments. Did you see it? It says horns. Talks about stringed instruments, harps, lyres, wind instruments, like pipes, Lots of percussion, really? Lots of percussion. Did you notice the timbrel, like the tambourine thing? It talks about cymbals. It talks about clashing cymbals. Then it talks about dancing. That was a big part of Hebrew worship. They used their bodies and they danced. When you read all of this, what kind of vibe do you get about worship? I mean, what kind of worship scene is this? Can you picture it? I think it's exuberant. It's loud. It's celebratory. It's highly expressive. It's very non-Dutch. It's why we do what we do in musical worship. It's such a big part of worship, isn't it? Music and all the instruments that we use. You know, that's why I assume the praise team practices, right? You practice. And they work on their instruments, and you work individually, and you work it out together. Then you come and you practice as a group, and then you perform it, and so on. And, you know, wouldn't it be awesome to fill the stage with, you know, well, how about the exact instruments that are listed in Psalm 150? That'd be kind of neat, just, you know, line them all up right here. But we have different instruments, right? We praise God with the, you know, the bass or the guitar, with the keyboard, with the piano. There's some cymbals over there. Are those marimbas, little baby marimbas? Okay, sorry, I don't know. Flutes, we're here tonight. All those things. Doesn't music, everybody, just do something to our hearts that the spoken word just can't do? I mean, we could sit here all night, you know, and read verses and speak about doctrinal truth. But there's something about music, isn't there? It just grabs us in our souls, in our emotions, and it lifts us up into the presence of God. Boy, do we need music. We need music. So praise God with all you've got. Every instrument you can possibly think of, get it out here and play it in praise of God. It's all good. But you know what? I think this is also broader than just music, because this is teaching us to worship God not just with every instrument, but with everything we have. And it's going to look different for a lot of different people. I've come to admire in recent years an artist named Makoto Fujimura. Born in the United States, 1960, to Japanese parents. Realized at a young age that he had this gift for art. And it just came out naturally. And so he began to develop his gift and art and all of that. But he also had a spiritual hunger. And he didn't quite know what to do with that, and his parents didn't really quite know what to say to him about that. And so while he was doing his master's studies in Tokyo, that's when he came to faith in Jesus Christ. And he's become this world-renowned artist now. His work has been displayed in the finest galleries, and he's lectured all over the world. His main topic is how faith and art fit together. I'm looking for his name again. There is Makoto Fujimura. I love this quote. Fujimura said, "I consider my life and my art to be an offering to worship our living God." Isn't that a great concept? I don't know if he plays an instrument, but that's not exactly what he's talking about. His instrument is his paintbrush. That's his instrument, and to him, that's an act of worship to God. And the reason that excites me is because I know not all of us are musicians, not all of us here are artists or anything like that, but God has given us all different gifts and different talents. Wouldn't it be amazing if you were a teacher, you know, you're a teacher, and to say, you know, I consider my lesson plans, my time with my students, to be an act of worship to God. And so Psalm 50 might read for you, praise him with your lesson plans. You can actually do that. Some of you, you know, are business people, you're CEOs, you work with finances and so on. I consider all of my daily activities an act of worship to God. And so Psalm 50 might read, praise him with your spreadsheets, praise him with your accounting, praise him with your truck driving, praise him with your diaper changing. Whatever God has called you to do, praise him. Talk about him. Be impressed. Just do what you do with excellence and passion, and it becomes an act of worship to God, and you lift it up to Him. So praise God with all you've got, with the best of what you have. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And so that's what this is teaching us, right? Think about what you have. Is it an instrument? Is it a voice? Is it an artistic ability? Is it some other gift or ability that God has given you? Well, then harness it and use it, all you've got, and lift it up as an act of worship to God. All right, one more thing, one more piece of the phrase. I think this is probably the hardest part. This is the hardest part. Praise the Lord in all of life. In all of life. Verse 1 says, praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. So the sanctuary, I guess, is talking about the temple, right? People would go to the temple and they'd praise Him there in a formal way. Then it says, praise Him in the highest heaven. Well, where's that? I guess up in the sky or the furthest reaches. The implication is, and everywhere in between, wherever you are, whether it's the familiar of the temple as we're sitting like here tonight, or whether it's the unfamiliar of everything way out there, wherever you are, it's the right thing. You never have to stop and ask, is this a good moment for praise? Because the answer is, yep, it is. It says in Psalm 33, verse 1, it is fitting for the upright to praise Him. Psalm 147, verse 1, how pleasant and fitting to praise Him. In other words, no matter where you are, no matter what's going on, it's always appropriate to turn your attention to God and praise Him. Praise Him in all of life. But let's be honest, right? There are moments in life when it's, harder to praise than other times, right? When you're feeling gratitude, like we talked about tonight, let all things now living, a song of thanksgiving. And when you're feeling something like that, I guess it's pretty easy to praise, right? Get a raise at work, something good happens in your life. I praise you for that, Lord. It just kind of flows out of us. But think of some of the other emotions that we go through that are actually mentioned in the Psalms. Because the Psalms isn't just about thanksgiving and praise and all that. It is, but it mentions all kinds of other emotions like confusion, anger, instability, injustice. A little tougher to praise then, isn't it? But you know what I think? I think maybe, just maybe, those are the most important times to praise God. Job chapter 1. Remember, he gets this report of all these tragedies that have befallen his family and his children and all of that. And then his response, 1 verse 20, at this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Well, those are acts of mourning. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Man, that's praise. In the book of Habakkuk, the prophet says that God is about to come and bring sobering judgment on Jerusalem. And this is how the prophet responds, Habakkuk 3:17. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Now that's praise right there. I think about Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. Remember, they got arrested in the city of Philippi for causing some disturbance or something. They get unjustly beaten. They get thrown in prison. They get locked up. Their feet are put in the stocks. And in Acts 16:25, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were cursing and contacting their attorney. Oh, no, wait, that's the wrong version. Sorry, that's a different version. Chapter 16, verse 25 says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them, praying and singing hymns. Man, there's some grit in that praise. One One commentator put it like this: our reasons for praising him, his mighty deeds, his glory overall, always eclipse and outweigh what we suffer. And all the more so now that Christ has come, died, and risen. God doesn't minimize or neglect our suffering, but his goodness to us always outshines the trials he hands us. And so the psalmist can say to every one of us at every moment of our lives, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in all of life, especially in the painful times. And then at the very end, right before the final hallelujah, verse 6 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And so it's not just humans. Like, all of creation is being invited into this praise of God. If you go back a couple chapters to Psalm 148, it gives a little bit more detail about who's invited into this praise party. Psalm 148, verse 7, praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures, and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children. In other words, everybody is invited into this chorus of praise. It's what we're designed for. It's what we were created to do. Praising God. I'm telling you, we are most fully alive. We are most fully human when we are living lives of praise. And that's just the truth. So many voices in our world are telling us to do something else, to praise something else, to pursue something else, to focus on ourselves or the material things around us. And this book of Psalms, and particularly Psalm 150, says no. Oh no. Praise God for all he is with all you've got in all of life. I love this book of Psalms. Do you want a reading strategy for Psalms? How many Psalms are there? 150. Here's what you do. You read 5 a day. They're short, except for Psalm 119. That's long. You read 5 a day. 5 times 30 is 5 a day every month. You read through the book of Psalms. And then start over again and read them again. Don't you love the book of Psalms? It just reminds us that in every situation of life, with every circumstance that we experience, with every emotion that we go through, whether it's gratitude or whether it's confusion or whether it's suffering or pain or thanksgiving, all of it, it's time to praise God. So here's how I want to end tonight, if this is okay. Can I ask you to stand back up? Okay, let's end this way by standing. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to call out some of the emotions that are mentioned in the book of Psalms. And after each one, I want to invite you, if you feel comfortable to say it, just say, we praise you, Lord. Right? Don't be afraid. Don't shout it out. You can jump it out. You can dance it out. You can do whatever you want with it. But we're just going to say together, we praise you, Lord. Are you ready? Here we go. In times of despair, we praise you, Lord. In times of fear, praise you, Lord. In times of injustice, in times of waiting, praise you, Lord. In times of gratitude, in times of stress, in times of guilt, in times of instability, in times of confusion, Lord, for all that you are, with all that we've got, in all of our lives, together we say, praise you, Lord. Listen, if you forget everything I said tonight, which is okay. I mean, it's all right. If you forget everything I said tonight, remember this moment right here. Because always, 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 it's time to praise the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, would you just free us from just the lie and the prison that our world tells us to focus on ourselves or on the things that are around us. And Lord, just turn our eyes to you. Show us, Lord, what it means to savor your greatness. Lord, to use whatever you've given us, whether it's in our hand, whether it's a musical instrument or anything else, to bring praise to you. And Lord, help us learn to do that not only in good times, but in the hardest times of life as well. I pray that, Lord, you would, we as your people would learn the joy of worshiping and praising you. Help us to do that well. In Jesus' name.